Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Classic.
Classic, yeah. They think this is their last album.
Could be. I always wanted to write a response track called Water Over Troubled Bridge.
Water Under Troubled
Bridge. No, Water Over Troubled Bridge.
Oh, yeah. Well, Toronto.
The bridge
last
is
week.
Troubled. Yeah. See, the bridge is troubled and the water's over the bridge.
Yeah. All right. So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says Bridge Over Troubled Water was one of the biggest selling albums of its decade, and it hasn't fallen too far down on the list in years since. Apart from the gospel-flavored title track, which took some evolution to get to what it finally became, however, much of Bridge Over Troubled Water also constitutes a stepping back from the music that Simon and Garfunkel had made on Bookends. This was mostly because the creative partnership that had formed the body and the motivation for the duo's four prior albums literally consumed itself in the making of Bridge Over Troubled Water. The overall effect was perhaps the most delicately textured album to close out the 1960s and from any major rock act. Bridge Over Troubled Water, at its most ambitious and bold on its title track, was a quietly reassuring album. At other times, it was personal yet soothing, and at other times, it was just plain fun. The public in 1970, a very unsettled time politically, socially, and culturally, embraced it, and whatever mood they captured, the songs matched the standard of craftsmanship that had been established on the duo's two prior albums. Between the record's overall quality and its four hits, the album held the number one position for 2.5 months and spent years on the charts, racking up sales in excess of 5 million copies. The irony was that for all of the records and the music's appeal, the duo's partnership ended in the course of creating and completing the album. Okay, so there are, hang on, let me get the track listing. There are 11 songs on the album, and so what we'd like to do is we pause halfway through after side one and discuss the album just at the midway point. And so if you're listening along with us, which we really encourage you to do, the album starts with the song, the title track, Bridge Over Troubled Water. And side one ends with So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright. So if you're listening along, if you want to pause it at that point, And I've linked the album in the show notes, so you can get it on both Spotify and Apple Music. And this album was released on January 26, 1970. And the genre is folk rock, and it was released on Columbia Records and produced by Paul Simon, Art Garfunkel, and Roy Haley. Okay, so without further ado, here's the first song, which is the title track, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Here we go. Okay, and ending side one with So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright. This is interesting. I mean, this is, I think, the third Simon and Garfunkel album we've covered. And,
I think so, too.
Their harmonies are always really great. We've said a lot about them already. They never disappoint. Really, they're consistent in their quality.
Yes, they're consistent in a fairly high quality. They're considered classics, you know, for a reason. Bridge Over Troubled Water, Cecilia, I've heard them lots of times.
Yeah, keeps customers satisfied. Know that song. I was just reading a little bit about the album and about, like, basically the breakup of the duo and why I think they were victims of music industry people dividing and conquering. At least that I don't know much about them. I'm not an expert on them by any means, but from what I see, because this album, like they had the previous album, Bookends, they had completed and the plan was Art Garfunkel had wanted to get into acting. And so he was in a movie called Catch 22, which is based on the book. And the filming for that started in January of 1969. And it went for 8 months, which is pretty long for a movie, even then. Usually a movie takes maybe 6 weeks to film. And I think Paul Simon, I've seen an interview with Paul Simon on the Howard Stern show talking about, like, because Howard will ask those questions of, like, why did you guys break up? What happened? And he said, well, you know, in my perspective was that Art was focusing on his acting career and he didn't seem that interested in doing music anymore. And I think, because Paul Simon wrote all the songs, I mean, not to take away from Art Garfunkel, I mean, he's got a great voice and can, you know, he's credited as a producer, so he's a good arranger and everything. But I think people were saying, well, you know, he's off doing this movie. It's like, when you're writing the songs, like, you know, you should just do a solo album and forget him. I think they were victims of people telling them that, oh, you don't need that guy, you know, which happens all the time.
Yeah, it kind of does. There was a certain magic between the two of them for sure. Paul Simon didn't seem like he still had a magic to his stuff afterwards. Like, just think of Graceland, that album.
Graceland. And even the stuff like in the 70s, like, what is the song? Like, Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard. That's a really good song. His solo stuff is great. But there's just something about their voices blend together so well that it's like, yeah, this is good and this is great, but it's just missing that one piece. And you know, whatever this all happened over 50 years ago, but like, I wonder what would have happened if they had stuck together. And, but at the same time, you know, it's hard. Like we've said it before a lot. It's hard keeping a band together. It's almost impossible.
Sometimes. Yeah, it sometimes feels that way.
Yeah. And if two people can't even stick together, you know, and so, but I just think it seems like they were sort of, I think they were at this point, they were drifting apart and weren't really speaking to each other, and which is too bad. But,
yeah, there was a, like I said, there was a magic in the stuff that they produced together, but, you know, I don't know what Art Garfunkel actually went on to do after doing like acting. I think he sort of just dropped off the map, but,
I was just reading, he did do a few movies and he did release some solo stuff, but wasn't nearly as successful as Paul Simon.
I almost dare to say that Art Garfunkel needed Simon a little bit more on the music front anyway, but they, the things that they did together were really, they were excellent. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I've just been reading all about their dynamic, and it's kind of a mean thing to say, but this is on Wikipedia. It says, in 1990, Simon and Garfunkel were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Garfunkel thanked Simon, calling him the person who most enriched my life by putting those songs through me. Simon responded, saying, Arthur and I agree on agree about almost nothing, but it's true. I have enriched his life quite a bit.
Oh my God. That was a dick move.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yes, it is funny, but.
Yeah. But it is still amazing that even though they were breaking up, that they were still able to produce this amazing music. And you know, I mean, Bridge Over Troubled Water. I mean, that's Art Garfunkel singing lead on that. And I know that Paul Simon sings a lot, the majority of their songs lead, and he sings harmony. He's got a really good lead voice too.
I think if Art Garfunkel like sort of got, you know, started doing like stuff that, you know, had another writer or something like that, he probably could have been very successful. I don't know. Was he writing his own stuff when he kind of,
that's a good question. No. He doesn't seem to write any of his stuff. But
he needed a really good writer.
Yeah.
Well, he needed like a Harry Nilsson or something like that.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah. And it looks like on his solo stuff, he's collaborating with a lot of different writers. So maybe it's not that consistent. No. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's possible if he had collaborated with a consistent writer after they split up, he probably would have had a more successful solo career. But I, you know, it's hard to say that, because he probably, in comparison to a lot of people, he was successful, but comparison to Paul Simon, not so much.
Yeah.
So,
well, he was successful as a part of the duo, but
yeah,
you know, I guess, you know, his solo stuff was probably, you know, I'd like to hear it, because mm-hmm. it might not be nearly as bad. It just flew way under the radar for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It might be a little bit unfair to say, oh, it's crap or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, I haven't heard it either, and I'm not saying it's crap. I'm saying, because I haven't heard it, I can't say. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it just, you know, maybe at the time, just people weren't really interested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess we'll get back into the album. And the second side starts off with the song The Boxer. So here we go. Okay, and ending the album with Song for the Asking. Yeah, this was a pretty interesting album. Yeah, it's very, I wouldn't say eclectic, but it's sort of, it has that sort of mix of like the slower, folky ballad sort of thing mixed with the more experimental sort of weird stuff that they did.
Yeah. And a few rock and rolls thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, like Baby Driver and Why Don't You Write Me? And Cecilia, Keep the Customer Satisfied. Those were the sort of more uplifting songs on the album, I suppose. Yeah. The other songs are great too. I mean, you know, not to take away from those. I was reading the Only Living Boy in New York was sort of a dig at Art Garfunkel, who had gone to Mexico to shoot that movie and leaving Paul Simon in New York to write the songs for the album. So he was pretty upset about that, apparently. So, yeah. But, like I said before, it's pretty amazing, even though that their relationship was, you know, crumbling, that they were still able to get it together enough to make one last pretty great album. I don't know if it's their best album, but it is a pretty solid album.
I was noticing like little, you know, sounds and little tidbits that reminded me of the Traveling Wilburys, and the Traveling Wilburys obviously picked up some sounds and sonic ideas from these guys. I thought it was kind of interesting.
That's interesting. I didn't pick up on that. What do you have? Like, do you remember anything specific?
Well, the parts of like, just some of the, instrument choices and the way that they're, written and everything. And there was a part in The Only Living Boy in New York, towards the end, or it seemed like there was like this, it's just vocalizing, but it seemed like a distant vocalizing. Reminded me of Margarita.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear that. I know what you mean. There were some interesting production choices on this one. The song "The Boxer," that the drum on that, played by Hal Blaine, who is part of the Wrecking Crew, is a really well-known session player. Apparently, I was just reading about, he was being interviewed for some magazine, and he was recalling recording that song and talking about how the sound that they wanted was, what they did was they set up the drums in this hallway next to an elevator shaft, and the producer said, okay, and it's only when they're singing the lie, 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 lie part.
Yeah, I know. It's a good whack.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, that's what he was instructed to do, is like hit the drum as hard as you can. And basically the effect, and it was effective, is they wanted it to sound like a cannon shot, and it does. And apparently there was a security guard who was working the building where they were recording, and they were in the middle of a take, and the security guard gets off the elevator to find Hal Blaine just beating the shit out of his drums. It's like, what the hell's going on? Like, he's not in the studio. He's outside the studio with all the microphones and everything set up.
So. Just beating the crap out of his drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wham! Wham! Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been very interesting to walk in on.
Yeah.
But I think being at a record, working at a record studio would, I expect the unexpected every once in a while when the eccentrics come to town.
Yeah, true. But still, I mean, you get off the elevator and it's like, what the hell? Yeah, quite a surprise. Yeah. Like I don't really know what else to say about the album. I mean, it's pretty great. I mean, so I guess that brings us to the question. Would you listen to the album again?
Oh yeah, I'd listen to this again for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I think it's the same thing we said for the other ones.
Yeah.
They're just solid
and yeah, really, really consistent quality wise. Yeah. Just they always seem to deliver on it. So yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can do that by going to the website, polyphonicpress.com, and go to the contact page. It's polyphonicpress.com/contact. And while you're there, you can check out previous episodes and learn a little bit about us and all sorts of cool stuff. And yeah, and you can also, if you feel inclined, you can also help out the show by going to our Patreon, patreon.com/polyphonicpress. You can get these episodes the day before that they're released. And all those links are in the description. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.